Hey, Monica Metz here, certified health coach, and today we are talking about what can we do to boost our motivation. It's late February. Sometimes that motivation was so strong in the beginning of the year for our New Year's resolutions or our intentions or just whatever feelings or vibe you had about the new year ahead. I'm sure there were some things that you wanted to accomplish. And when we have a fresh start, when we have a new year, that energy runs and it flows pretty easily. But as the year goes by, those resolutions kind of fall off. That motivation can be a little bit harder to find. So today we are talking about my five top tips for getting more motivation to support those nutrition and wellness goals for the year ahead. So if you are joining me live at any time, just put a little question or comment in the chat box and I will see it, hopefully. Gonna make sure I have this on my phone so I can see your comments. But let's get into it. So, tip number one is to think small. Now, I know that we often have gigantic, ambitious, shiny goals for the year ahead, for the month ahead, for the day ahead. We have these big goals, but really the way that we're going to accomplish those goals is to think about the small things, which sounds counterintuitive, but here's what I mean. Those big results can't come from big sweeping changes that we do overnight. And we all know this. It comes from small, micro, tiny, tiny actions that take place all throughout the day, every day, so day in, day out. We're making all sorts of decisions about our dietary choices, whether we're going to exercise or not, when we're going to go to sleep, when we're going to wake up, how we're going to take care of ourselves, how we're going to manage our stress. There are probably, I don't know, 50, 100, I should look up the research, but there are dozens and maybe hundreds of decisions that we make all throughout the day that are going to support our wellness goals, or they're going to work against our wellness goals. And so the first part of that is really to just get grounded and have a self-awareness practice, whether you meditate, whether you just have 5 minutes of quiet time in the morning to just observe your breath, get grounded, relax, kind of get focused, journaling, morning pages if you're a Julia Cameron fan. There are many, many ways to ground yourself and to increase self-awareness around those small decisions. Journaling or keeping a tracker. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but those are other ways to enhance your self-awareness so that you're aware of what you're doing in the first place. Because most people aren't. They're just kind of mindlessly snacking all throughout the day or blowing off their workouts weeks at a time. And then after a period of time, they're like, gosh, I just don't understand. Like, I'm not having any progress. And I'm not saying that to poke fun at anybody because we're all guilty of that. We just are sometimes not so mindful, and then life goes by and we're thinking, oh my gosh, like why am I not making progress on my goals? I've been so good. Well, if we were really being aware of 100% of the small things that we're doing every day, we'd probably see the things that aren't serving us. So that is tip one is think small. And hello, Lily, nice to see you today. Okay, so tip two is consistency. I mean, it follows the small actions. So what we want is on the other side of consistency. So whether we are wanting weight loss, reduce our cholesterol, maybe we're trying to PR on some sort of maybe we're going to run a marathon or we have some sort of fitness goal that we want to PR on, or we just want to manage our stress. Maybe our doctor's been talking to us about that. Hey, your self-care isn't so great. Your sleeping habits don't look so great. Whatever it is, we need to be consistent in those positive changes that we are making day after day. So, a lot of people, like we can all crush a 5-day challenge or maybe a 10-day challenge. That takes a little bit more work because you got to get through the weekend. But let's say you're really good at a 5-day challenge or a 10-day challenge. Most of us can, we have the willpower, we can do something for 5 to 10 days. But after that, that's when we start to run out of that initial energy. And that's really where the magic happens. We need that consistency over time. We need that consistency day after day, week after week, month after month. So first one was think small. What are all those small, teeny, seemingly insignificant micro actions that we're taking every day? And two, how can we string those together to give us some consistency? Because that's when we really start to get traction. That's when we start to see results. Okay, number three, find an accountability partner. This is one of my favorite tips. So pre-pandemic, I had a group of workout buddies that I would meet at the gym 3, 4, 5 times a week. And I noticed, I mean, I'm still pretty good about my workouts, at least I am about the consistency. But what I noticed over time was, you know what, I'm not working out as intensely as I used to. I'm not really pushing myself. If there's a choice, if I'm doing an app or something like that, if there's a choice between 5 pound weights and 10 pound weights, if I'm by myself, I'm gonna pick up those 5 pound weights. But if my trainer, Molly, was involved, she would be giving me those 12 pound weights. And so there's so much power in a group. So can you find an accountability partner? I know that things look different in the pandemic. You might not be meeting that person in person, or you might be meeting that person to go for a walk, but you're both wearing masks, or you're both working out at some outdoor facility, something like that. But whatever you can do to find yourself an accountability partner, that's really going to help boost your motivation, especially if you, this is kind of the classic example, but if you have a workout partner and you're gonna work out first thing in the morning and then you feel like blowing it off, but you know that person's gonna be waiting for you at the gym or on the street corner or at the park at 6 a.m., well, you can't text them at 5:55 and say, hey, I'm not coming. I mean, that would just be lame. You probably wouldn't do that. So if you can find an accountability partner who you can meet on a regular basis, that might be a weekly Zoom call. It might be meeting someone to go for a walk in your neighborhood. It might be doing a FaceTime with someone who you're doing meal prep with, who you're healthy cooking with, sharing recipes with. It's gonna look different for everybody. I have an accountability group for my business of other business owners. We meet once a week on Zoom. And here's the accountability part as we talk about what are our big three items that we want to, or projects that we want to accomplish for the week ahead. And then when we meet the next week on Zoom, we have to report back and say, well, did we do that thing we said we were going to do, or did we not do it? And if we didn't do it, why? So that's just a business accountability group, but you can do that for personal goals as well. Okay, so, and one last tip is it's really better as you're recruiting for an accountability partner, you really want to look for someone who is going to maybe be a little bit more motivated than you are. You don't want the person who is going to be saying like, yeah, let's just blow it off. It's no big deal. You want someone who's a little bit more hardcore than you are, and then you can support each other. So that's just a little tip. Okay, so let's see. Tip four is... was that tip five? Oh no, tip four is keep a tracker. This is a really great method for motivating yourself. Let's say you don't have an accountability partner or you don't feel comfortable getting one for whatever reason. If you have a bullet journal, if you have a paper planner, that's what I like to do. I create a grid inside my planner and then I can mark down like, did I hydrate appropriately on these days? Or I'm tracking my weight, or that's where I write down my meals, my meal planning. But these are just a couple of examples that I create trackers for my members inside my membership program. But let's say, you know, you're trying to track something over 30 days, and this is just really simple. It just has, you're gonna write in what your goal is, and then there's day 1 through 30, and you're gonna check it off, or you're not gonna check it off. That can be really powerful. Or, you know, this is just another example. This is a weekly daily habit tracker. Can you see that? That's a daily habit tracker that I made for the members inside my membership program. So this is really, they would print one of these out per week and they would track things that way. But there are tons of trackers out there that you can find. Just Google, Pinterest, you can print them out. Here's the thing, like we all really like getting a gold star when we do something good. Good meaning when we do something that we said we were gonna do, and we know that's gonna support our self-care and our wellness and our vitality. So we all know we want that gold star. Give yourself a gold star. So find a place to give yourself that gold star. Paper planner, tracker, a lot of fitness apps and things like that. You can, you know, there's some sort of a check mark or gold mark or icon or something that you get when you accomplish something. So that's tip number four, is get a tracker. And then the last one is, it's really related to the accountability partner, is who are you hanging out with / who are you following? And so this is really important. I want to read something for my notes here because it just kind of blew my mind. But there was a study that was covered in the New York Times in 2007. It was a 32-year observational study, meaning they didn't give these people a placebo. All they did was observe this set of people for 32 years. So here's the, so if you're, you know, working on weight loss, this is just one example. So people, this is from the article, people were most likely to become obese when a friend became obese. That increased one's chances of becoming obese by 57%. We're all influenced by who we hang out with. And here's what's really fascinating about this study is there was no effect when a neighbor gained or lost weight. However, and family members had less of an influence than friends. So the friends that we choose to hang out with, that dynamic had a bigger effect on people in this study. So this is really cool. It says it didn't matter if the friend was hundreds of miles away. The influence remained. And the greatest influence of all was between mutual close friends. There, if one became obese, the other had a 171% chance of increased chance of becoming obese as well. Then the same effect seemed to occur for weight loss. So the study investigators said, but in this case, most people were gaining and not losing over the 32 years of this study. So think about who you hang out with, or just even think about that dynamic that we are being influenced by the people we hang out with. And I just use that example because it's from a study, a kind of landmark study that was covered in the New York Times, but it could be around fitness. It could be about financial wellness. You know, how are people frugal and good with their money? It really could be around anything, but just think about the people that you choose to hang out with, or the people that you choose to hang out with online, people that you follow, things that you pin on Pinterest. I believe that's all kind of brainwashing us in one way, be it positive or be it negative. So just think about, well, one of a classic example is I think about a client that I had. She really wanted to lose weight. She really wanted to be healthy. She was fired up about eating healthy. And yet, you know, I would see that she was constantly posting things on social media about, you know, like cookie recipes and cakes and like all these treats with, you know, kind of this vibe of like, oh, I'm just saving this for later, you know, or after my cleanse is over or things like that. And I just thought to myself, you know, that's not, I mean, you're working against yourself. I understand the motivation. I understand that some people may feel like, hey, I just need to know that this chocolate cake recipe is waiting for me on the other side of what I'm doing right now, being healthy. But really what we need to be working on is the mindset that we are making a permanent change in our habits, because that's how it's going to be sustainable. We can't just really be good for 5, 10, 15, 30 days and then just undo it all later, you know, by following up on those Pinterest recipes. So here's what I mean. Just be aware of who you follow online, you know, what posts you're liking. If it's always, if you're always liking or hitting like on posts that are about cookies or naughty foods, like, I don't know, buffalo chicken dip, or, you know, just pay attention to what you're pinning on Pinterest, because then that platform is just going to serve up more of that for you. And it'll kind of be brainwashing you. The more that you see it, will normalize for you. Or you could go on the other end of the spectrum and follow people or recipes or lifestyles that really inspire you in a way. I don't really mean like, I definitely don't mean body image. I don't mean follow people who are 100 pounds, you know, because, oh, someday I want to be 100 pounds like them. I really mean more like, hey, what if you were pinning healthy recipes? Or what if you were following people who are, you know, they're kind of within, like, they're people you might meet in your regular life who are also fit and they're doing things that you want to be doing. I'm not saying you have to go to the extreme or shame yourself or have trigger some body image thing that will not be helpful. I'm just saying, just pay attention to what you're pinning or liking on Instagram or Facebook. And if you see a trend that, you know what, that probably isn't serving me, then just pay attention to that. And maybe you can find some stuff that feels like a better fit for you and what your wellness goals are for the year ahead. So to recap, think small. All those dozens, maybe hundreds of micro actions that we take every day. Do we have that eighth glass of water? Do we get that 20-minute workout even though we intend to do 60? It's fine. Some days maybe we just get that 20, but it's better than getting zero. What other decisions might we make? Oh, do we, if we intend to stop snacking after dinner time, are we able to do that? I mean, that's a very small decision, but, or like snacks, like people ask me about nuts all the time. Aren't nuts healthy? Can I eat those? Well, yes. Most nutritionists, most dietitians say, you know, an ounce a day, which is really like a quarter cup. It's a small handful. Nobody's saying you should do that five times a day, but a lot of times people do because they're not really aware they're doing it. They're just grabbing a little snack pack. They walk by the snack drawer. Oh, nuts are healthy for me. I'm going to have some nuts. And then next thing you know, they've done that like four or five times when one would have been healthy, but now we've done that five times and that's kind of undermining our wellness goals. So that's just an example of one of those small actions. Consistency was tip number two, sustaining those micro actions over time. Three, keep a tracker. This builds self-awareness about what's actually happening so that if you see something you don't like, if you see a trend that's happening that doesn't serve you, you can redirect that and get it going in a healthier way or direction. Accountability partner, who in your life can you meet up with or just have a call with to just talk about your wellness goals and support each other? And then also, who are you hanging out with / who are you following, or what organizations or what, you know, what trends are you following online that either serve or don't serve your wellness goals? So those are my tips for today. If you want to take a deeper dive, then I highly recommend that you get on the wait list for my membership program, which is called More Veggies, Less Meat. It is filled with like nutrition tips, group coaching. We do themes, monthly themes. There's lots of recipes. And we just support each other in trying to make this healthy lifestyle thing a little bit more easier, or a lot easier, I like to say. But anyway, that, if you want to sign up for the waitlist, that is over at monicametz.com/waitlist. So do we have any questions? Oh, Penelope says, Molly, I've worked with her too. She's the best. She is awesome. And I'm just thinking of her. Now I'm going to feel guilty if I do some weights later on today and I go for those 5-pound weights. I will hear her voice, or I'll see her little face in my mind's eye, and I'll think she would be kind of smirking at me and she would give me those 12-pound weights. So anyway, I'm not seeing any questions. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you want to get on the wait list, that is at monicametz.com/waitlist. I hope these tips have been helpful. I hope you can find an accountability partner, or at least just start a little tracker for yourself, or just take one of these methods or approaches and see which resonates most for getting some more motivation into your life for your wellness goals in your head. So thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out today, and I will talk to you soon. I am wishing you peace, love, and lots of broccoli.